of many preachers in a lot of areas. But I asked them to come if you do the empty nesters part. And again, I'm just excited to see what we're going to learn today. And again, there's nothing sitting there thinking this morning, I was praying and saying, there's nothing that you're going to get that you say, well, I couldn't use that. Everybody's going to get something that they can use if you'll listen for it and get some help today. So, preacher, would you come preach for us this morning?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you'll take your Bibles this morning and go to look at Psalms chapter number 90, I do want to say thank you to Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Garner for allowing me to preach. I love to preach as much as I love to eat, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the opportunity. My wife and I were trying to figure out how many years ago we were having men's retreats, 15 ladies retreats. There were just all kinds of different retreats, and not that marriage retreats was anything new. God laid upon our heart. It was about 94, 95. And I called Brother Page, Brother Batwell, Brother Wyckoff, and I said, what do you think about doing a retreat, a couples retreat? And so we started years ago with Captain Cook for the first 3 years, I believe. Then we went to Alyeska, over to Princess Lodge. And then in 2000, God called us to Ohio. And I couldn't think of a couple to turn that over to more so than Brother Page and Mrs. Page. And looking forward to hearing him preach in a little bit. They have been an example. He was the first preacher that I was ever around that wasn't afraid to talk about, you know, that word, sex. Now that I got all your attention, it's like, wait, let me get my pen, honey, give me my pen, you know. And it's taboo. I mean, let's be honest. When's the last time your pastor got up and said, the theme of my message today is sex? I guarantee your teenagers would listen. I promise. We're afraid to talk about it. And I'm not going to talk about sex. Brother Gardner, quit sweating. The truth of the matter is, I would say this. We have dirtied God's creation. I'd ask you, before we even get into the lesson this morning, simply this. Who invented the kiss? Whose idea was sex? God brought man and woman together. Understand, it's an amazing thing when it's right. God meant it to be beautiful. God meant it to be good. God meant it to be often. And I'm not going to preach on it. So you're saying, preach. I've got more amens and more smiles this morning than I ever had. The internet is blowing up right now on the live stream. Everybody's saying, honey, you need to watch this. You know? But the reality of it is, we have no clue when we get married. I was at the eye doctor the other day, and he said, for your age,
for my age, my foot, I'm just a youngster. I'm the young preacher. That's the old preacher.
He says, well, your eyes are really good. He started talking about glaucoma and all this kind of stuff. I said, that's old people stuff. He says, oh, for your age, your eyes are really good. And I thought, you know, and then we start figuring out how many years ago we started couples retreats. And Heather said, well, you know, Caleb was just born. And now Caleb's pastoring the church, got 50 kids of his own. And it's amazing how time is here and it's gone. I wish I'd have had it back then. I wish I could redo a lot of years of our marriage. I didn't come into marriage understanding it. I didn't come into marriage knowing anything about it. I thought I knew what love was, but it was very selfish, very self-centered, very self-serving. I would be lying to you if I didn't say I married her for me.
I wanted her from me. I chose her. I was Samson. Dad, get her from me. You know, it was all about me. And she was honest. She would say I was all about her. You know, the reality of it is we had to learn. We had to be taught. And to be quite honest, back in the 80s, way, way back in the 80s, teenagers said, you lived back in the 80s? The 80s. We're talking, I was born in the 60s. The 60s? You know, did they have running water back then? You know, and there was no talk about intimacy. There was no talk about what marriage was supposed to be. I grew up in a home that there was very little affection shown outwardly, although we knew noises we would hear as kids. We'd say, boy, what were you guys doing last night? And you know, you just didn't talk about things. There was never really open affection, really and truly, until I met the Pages. I never even knew it was okay to talk about things like that. And I remember the first time they told us about the mush in. I thought, what in the world? A bunch of old geezers want to go to the mush in? Don't go to the mush in now. It's old and run down. But back 40 years, 30 years ago, it was cool. You know, it was this themed inn, and Brother Page, Miss Page would talk about going there, and it's like, wow, they're actually talking about that stuff. You know, and we'd have couples retreat, and I'd have to learn how I need to be in my Bible, but it really wasn't helping our marriage. I really didn't know anything. And so my hope and desire is that I can help you. The Bible is an amazing book. In Psalm chapter 90, verse number 12, talking about the empty nesters, the reality is, I tell my kids often, and I say it often, that I chose her. I didn't choose you. You were lent to me from God. We love being empty nesters. It's everything I dreamed about when we got married. It really is. We were married all of a few months, and I thought she had a cold, so I was giving her Alka-Seltzer and all kinds of stuff. And ended up 9 months later, Crystal came along, and then Jake, and then Caleb, and then Charity, and well, years later, then Charity, and then it seems like our whole life we've had somebody living with us, being by ourselves. And being alone. We were laying in bed a few months ago, and we just said, you know, I wish we would have remembered that you need this time, that you need this quiet time. If I can encourage all you young folks, what the preacher preached last night, do. Get away. Take that time. Get away. Talk. 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 As soon as we get addiction programs going and stuff, very first thing is talk, talk, talk. Listen, the reality is husband and wives don't talk. And truthfully, we don't talk about sex. We don't. We talk about defrauding. We go to 1 Corinthians, you know, 7, and we quote verses of Scripture. But we really don't understand intimacy. We don't understand what God designed it to be. And if you go back from the beginning, love and kissing and all and the holding hands and all those kind of things, it's a biblical principle that is hardly ever taught about. In fact, there's whole books written about love and making love. It's a wonderful thing. Some of you look at me like, oh, where's that Bible at? I want that version. Have you ever read the book of Song of Solomon?
Yes.
Amazing book. Psalms 90 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. It's not what you don't know that God's going to hold you accountable for. It's what you do know. And the things that you've been taught, the things that God has laid before you. So if you'll take your Bibles and go to the book of Song of Solomon this morning, I want to just give you three simple points, and you can write them down, and I want to talk to you just a few moments on the lessons that I've learned from lovebirds. And I saw this old preacher when I was young, and he had this elderly wife. She might have looked like a Coke bottle when they got married, but now she looked like a 2-liter bottle, you know. And I couldn't really see what he saw, you know. He probably had a 6-pack, but now he had a keg, you know. He was just, and I looked at him and I thought, what? They're fakes. They're holding hands and they're lovebirds and they're, you know, I mean, they're, you look at it, there's something different about that couple. What is it about them? wasn't what I grew up with. Mom and Dad loved each other, and my in-laws loved each other. But really, public affection wasn't something. I mean, even over the pulpit, you just never really heard. And so I watched them out that they're fake. They're just faking it. You know, he's talking about his wife, and he's talking about, that can't be real. The old people walking and still holding hands. And my wife and I in 94 went to Hawaii, and we enjoyed watching the old people. I mean, it was just an amazing thing to watch different people and how different people deal with this thing called love. And I thought, you know, I want whatever it is that that old couple has. I want when we get old, I don't want the flicker to die out. I don't want the flame to go away. I want to not defile the marriage bed. I don't want to be that couple when we're in our 90s that still doesn't get a thrill when she walks in. I want her to be, and I want to be, everything that God intended it to be. I saw that couple a while ago, and they're still. They smooch a lot. They hold hands a lot. He gets up and he talks about her. They call each other honey and all those kind of things. And I said, you know, my wife, she called me honey. I said, I'm not bee poop. I mean, I'm not regurgitated, you know. Don't call me that. I'm just saying they have this relationship. I said, you know, I want. So how do we become lovebirds? Teach us the number of the days, because it goes by that quick. I have preached more funerals lately of loved ones who have spent years, and you watch the slides of when their children were young, and you watch the slides when they got married, and you watch the slide, and you just go through the life, and it's just life is but a vapor. How do I live it to the fullest? How do I make this marriage a marriage that my grandkids look at and go, ooh, or my grandkids look at it and go, oh, that's what I want. I want that kind of love. I want that kind of relationship. I want to be that kind of couple. How many want that to be that kind of couple? How many of us ever been taught how to be that kind of couple? I mean, the reality of it is, I don't want to be that old couple like the first guy that I ever counseled on marriage, and he sat down before me. I'm 24 years old, and he says, Pastor, my wife don't desire me anymore. You know, what do you say to that? How do you relight that fire? You know, and it's just like, he's probably in his 30s, you know. She's frigid. They're both frustrated. She feels unwanted, used. How do we change that? Well, we take the wisdom that God gives us in His Word and we apply it. Last time we met, we talked about charity never faileth. I hope you've been applying that. I hope that you took the Song of Solomon and you read that book. I'm just going to take excerpts out of it today. But I want to look at some lessons from the lovebird. In Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse number 6, the Bible says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are the coals of fire, which hath most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all his substance of his house for love, it will never be contemned. You know the reality of it is, if a man will give everything for love. In Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse number 15, he said this. He says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes. Dove eyes. Notice in Song of Solomon 5:2, I sleep, but my heart awaketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is full with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. From the beginning to the end of God's Word, I believe it's a love story. It's a real romance. It's a romance of redemption, a romance of relationship between a man and a woman. There's no greater book, I believe, on this earth. There's no greater book that you can read. There's no greater chapters that you can find in on the subject of love. There's no book that you could go rent at the library that teach you how to be than this book right here. I'm telling you, if you'll just get in your Bible It's an amazing book. You say, you mean the Bible can teach me all about relationship? Yes. It is an amazing book. The book of the Song of Solomon is an amazing love song. It's not just any love song, but I believe today it's the Song of Songs. The Song of Solomon, verse number 1 says, the song of songs which is Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Solomon composed 1,005 songs. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 32, the Bible says he spake 3,000 proverbs, and the songs were 5,005. This song is not just a song among many songs. It's a song that surpasses all songs. It is the number one hit on God's hit chart, on God's hit parade. Not merely the Song of Solomon, but it's God's song. It's a picture of His church. It's a picture of His bride. It's a picture of God and Israel. It's an amazing book. But we just cast it aside. Theme throughout is love. There's 30 references and only 117 verses. That's one out of every four verses deals with love. The Song of Solomon is a majestic matchmaking medley. Its harmony is from heaven and it's for all of us to hear. There are 8 notes in this song, 8 chapters. There are 8 notes in an octave. The love song of Solomon is between a king and a Shunammite woman, a maiden, and understand that he's married. It's between a bridegroom and his beloved. But as we read it, understand, we see that there's something greater than just Solomon there. It's a picture of Christ in His church. We see in Ephesians 1:6, we're accepted in the beloved. It's an actual love story between two people who are very lovey-dovey. How many want to be old and be lovey-dovey? You see, man has 100 brain. And every man wants to be a hero. And it's wired, regardless of what this world tells you, and every woman, to want to be the beauty to win. As we look at the love doves here today, I want you to see that in the Scripture, it's the most mentioned birds in the Bible. They're associated with matrimony and with weddings. Love birds are small parakeets that live in pairs. They display a very loving affection, hence the term lovebirds. You see a couple strolling hand in hand, or sitting on a park bench, immersed in each other's eyes. It's almost a knee-jerk reaction to say, well, they're lovebirds. How long has it been since you stared in each other's eyes? How long has it been since your heart skipped a beat? No pun intended. How long has it been? Where's Brother Hall? How long has it been since your heart's good? We don't have AFib. We have love. That's what it is. People, it's headed to Cabo soon, anyhow. How long has it been since you held each other, embraced each other, told each other that you loved each other? She was able to look through the windows of your eyes and know that it wasn't coming from just words. It wasn't just a Valentine ritual. How long has it been since you'd be accused of being lovebirds? Teach me to number our days. It happens so quick. They're here, then they're gone. Before too long, you're not able to do the things you once did, not able to go like you once went. So as I go through here today, I want to give you 3 things that I noticed here in Solomon's lovebird relationship. First thing I noticed was their captivation by each other. Here we see their selection of each other, their affection for each other, and they were in love. They were in true love. Can I help you today? It wasn't a counterfeit. It wasn't, as so many, it was for sale. It wasn't sold. It wasn't what society says. It was more than sensual and sentimental. It was more than theatrical. It was more than theoretical. It was a love relationship. It was, understand, it wasn't something that the world has painted as wicked or, understand, dirty, or it wasn't depraved, or it wasn't, it was designed relationship was designed by God, and it was designed to be delightful. The book of Song of Solomon is a book that speaks frankly. It speaks forthrightly. Marriage is honor of all, he says in Hebrews, and the bed undefiled. Understand God's design and God's thought, and God wants the husband and wife. The beauty of relationship, the beauty of a husband and wife coming together, the beauty of sex today, the relationship, the intimacy between a husband and wife is God's design. And God desires for you to have a fulfilling relationship. Satan has dirtied it. He's robbed it. There's no captivation. I mean, we get married and you start going through life and you have kids and the busyness of life and the busyness of the world. You get away, you get apart. I mean, it's okay for a few days, but the reality of it is most people schedule what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. And, well, once a week, twice. Listen, I get it all the time. Well, how many? It's just too much. When should we do? Listen, the reality of it is if you are captivated. As I stood there that day and looked into my wife's eyes, what do you think we were thinking about? Wives, do you think your husband quit thinking about that? Husbands, do you think that she was there in the nerves and as you go through those kind of, and how quickly those things just seem to go to the past? I'm asking you this morning, does she still captivate you? Does he still captivate you? 7 out of 10 men look at pornography. 3 out of 10 women look at pornography. Marriage couples today, they watch somebody else to get aroused. We live in a wicked, perverse world that's just taking what God designed to be a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing, understand, a happy, joyful thing. And we've taken it, we've perverted it, we've made it ugly, we've made it sick, we've made it till you can't even talk about it, till the reality of it is. Most kids walk down the aisle and you say, did your dad and mom ever have the talk with you? Did they ever teach you? They don't know anything. If I was to take a poll here today and say, how many of you, when you got married, wish you knew then what you knew now? They should. We teach our kids to ride a bike, we teach them to brush their teeth, we teach them about everything, but we don't teach them how to love. I'm talking the reality as we look at this passage of Scripture. They were captivated. My grandkids ought to know that Papa and Mama loved each other. It's not just a sacrifice. It's not just living together. It's not just coexisting. But they are captivated. They are so in love. Why is it that the world makes you think that doing and having sex and being with each other, that's what it's all about? I'm saying the reason why the world's way looks so much better is because they paint a better picture than what you and I are painting. They ought to look at us and say, I want what they got. I see how Dad loves her. I see how Dad wants her. Boy, they can't keep their hands off each other. What in the world? Dad, get a room. Shunammite woman had spots on her. She didn't think she was very pretty. But boy, she was something in his eyes. He didn't think he was very handsome. Referring to him, I don't see how any man could feel they're handsome. We think handsome means when your wife says, would you hand some money over to me? And we think that's what it's become. But you ever read the book in chapter 5, verse number 15, it says, his legs were glowing in the dark. It looked like, I mean, she basically was in love with a hairy-looking rake. They were just straight up and down pegs, no muscles, no tone. He's crazy about her. He likes the way she smells, too, in chapter 2. It's like food to him. One preacher said the way to win him is put a little bit of chicken or bacon grease behind each ear. That'll keep him coming around. She didn't even have shoes on. She said, I've got spots on me. And he says, oh. See, she didn't have an easy life. Shunammite woman had been out working in the sun. She was tiresome, laborsome. But he was captivated with her. Moms are all day long, you know, working with the kids, cleaning the house, doing a job. Most women today, they outwork us men. Sir, are you captivated with her? If not, why? Well, if she... Oh, no, see, it's the I. If you really understood this book, you see, God doesn't love me because of me. He loves me because of Him. And I love Him because He first loved me. And the way that He is captivated with me, it didn't make a difference how I looked. I was sinful. I was wicked. I was vile. I was dirty. I was unclean. Yet He still loved me. His love was unconditional. And when I look at this passage of Scripture, I think the reality of it is we see the captivation. And boy, we see how they looked at each other. But also, I want you to see the way they longed for each other. She waited for him to hold her in chapter number 8, verse number 3. There was a physical factor. The two shall be one flesh. There was a lot of kissing, and there's a lot of kissing throughout Scripture. When did you lose your kiss? When did you lose the idea of holding your hands? I can remember sitting by girls in church as a kid and thinking, boy, if I could just hold her hand, if I could just hold her hand, if I could just hold her hand, and if I could just... And I didn't hear anything Dad was preaching. I was just thinking about holding that girl's hand. And then you thought, well, just kiss her. Just kiss her. Just kiss her. My first kiss. She dreamed of how that kiss would go. And now you barely even look at each other. We wonder why the marriage bed is cold. Wonder why marriages are divorcing. And the Christian church, the same as they're divorcing in the world. And actually, those numbers are a little different because the world's just not getting married anymore. The church is actually worse because we preach marriage. Hey, it's something you've got to work on. It's something you've got to spend some time in. I'm talking about that he couldn't wait. She couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to be together. They waited for each other. They could not wait to kiss. They could not wait to embrace. You read that passage of Scripture. He longed to see her. She longed to see him. Just the sound of his voice. I mean, just the reality. We're not talking about two teenagers. We're not talking about people parked out. We're talking about a couple that was now up in their years. Why aren't we there? That ought to be a question on your mind. Honey, how can we fix this? Like Brother Seaver said when he asked his son, gentlemen, be careful. Because when you ask that question, she might just tell you what she wants. Well, why don't you desire me anymore? Well, you talk to me like a dog all day long, and then you want to go to bed. You gripe about everything that I make, everything that I do. You never tell me I look beautiful. Every woman wants to hear they're beautiful, and she don't need to be beautiful in anybody's eyes but yours. When's the last time, sir, that you told your wife, you look beautiful to me? She needs to know that from you. Are you captivated, infatuated? When's the last time you couldn't wait to express your love one towards another? When's the last time it was so passionate and so hot? Say, no, that's only happened in the movies. Oh, God. I believe the devil's robbing us as families. He's robbing us as couples. God designed it to be just like it was with Adam and Eve. Whoa, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Woman. They were both naked, not ashamed. Number two, I want you to see not only their captivation, but their communication. And he hit that last night, but I want you to see their love language. The lovebirds are tweethearts. The lovebirds are very verbal. They can mimic each other's voices and the chatter and sing. Understand, in a marital family or spiritual love, you must communicate or you'll disintegrate. You must communicate. If you communicate with each other, you need to first of all use your voice. Look at Song of Solomon 2:8. It says, "The voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved spake, and he said unto me, Arise, my love, my fair one, my, and come away, oh, my dove." In verse 14, we're looking at verse number 10 there. And verse 14 says, my dove, thou art the cliffs of the rock and the secret place and the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for thy sweet, for sweet is thy voice. Sir, she won you without words, but you won her with words. Why is it that we never talk? Remember those pickup lines? Hey, babe. If you were a parking ticket, are you a parking ticket? Why? You got fine written all over you. I hope you know CPR, because you take my breath away. Sir, just sit there at that, you know, the Golden Corral and pick up a pack of sugar that says sugar on it. Give it to her and say, "Here, honey, you drop this. It's got your name on it." Preacher friend in Georgia just puts it this way. He said, "Honey, if you were a booger, I'd pick you first." I'm just saying, we don't say anything. She wants to be captivated. She wants to know that she has captivated you. And listen, if you are never saying that, then she's going, "I must not be good enough." I guarantee you somebody's talking to her. Satan's talking to her mind and telling her she's not good enough. "Well, look at you. You've had 5 kids and, you know, you're running 100 miles an hour a day and you're a horrible mess." He's going to go for somebody else. She needs to know she's beautiful. You need to continue to talk with her. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, he liked her looks in Song of Solomon 7:10. He says, "I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me." I'd ask myself that question. Does your wife believe that your desire is towards her? Or is your desire to please yourself, sir? To feel your need? The sexual frustration that you have, and so you get it done. She does her duty, and there's no love, there's no relation. I mean, everything from the marriage bed to the home to life to sitting in the car is just a matter of duty. Boy, is it exciting. We get to go away. We get to be with each other. Empty nest syndrome. I chose her. Kids are gone. I'll never forget, we're sitting here in the house and it's quiet. "Hey, what do we do now?" "What do you want to do now?" Man, you know what you're thinking about. She's thinking, "Finally to rest." "You need something to drink?" "No!" Yeah. I encouraged you a few years ago just to walk in your house and give your wife a 30-second hug. Man, it's a wonderful tool. Now try 60 seconds. Hey, I'm just saying. Does she know you desire? Or does she know you desire to be, you know, intimate so your needs can be met, and when it's done, you drop her like she's a bad pillow? I'm just telling you, there's no cuddling. There's no talking. She doesn't know you want her like when you held her hand there and you looked in her eyes and said, "Oh, this is going to be a night." I planned a honeymoon. And how many know what the honeymoon's about? It's not about the food you're going to eat. My wife and I, we planned our honeymoon. And I don't know who in the world's idea it was, but we decided we're going to go to Blackwater Falls in the middle of December. But here's what I figured out. You don't do much looking at the water. Plus, it was all frozen. As we pulled up there, there was nobody in the hotel. We got it really, really cheap for a good reason. It's a beautiful place in the summertime, but in the wintertime, it's nothing but ice and snow. And here we sat. There wasn't even a restaurant open. We went to the vending machine our first night. Her favorite thing was cashews, and to this day, I try to buy her cashews because I know it's her favorite thing. Didn't have much money. Matter of fact, in those days, I would buy her a rose from the 7-Eleven, and I'd get her that little single 99-cent rose, and I would carry it out every time I went and got gas, every time I went. I wanted her to know she mattered. I was saying the other day, what did she do with those roses? She might have just rolled down the window and chucked them, but I don't remember them being that big of a deal other than the fact that I knew that it was important to me that she mattered. I thought about her when I was in the gas station. I thought about her all day at work. I thought about I couldn't be with her. When I couldn't be, I wanted to be with her. We didn't have cell phones in those days, so you couldn't call. I remember when she first got sick, and I bought her a puppy. I tried to help her. I did everything I could do. I wanted to wait on her. I would hold her hair while she puked, and I would puke too. It was a great time. Where did the years go? When did it get so cold? Lack of communication. When's the last time words and your pet word for her came out? I'm not talking dingbat, old hag, lazy bum, fatso. One old man said, I've called my wife honey so long I don't remember her name. Too many men sitting here today, you're buzzards. You married an old buzzard, ma'am. Who's too chicken to tell you that he loves you. Those same turkeys duck the responsibility of making your Shunammite woman feel very special, to feel desired. I read that verse and I said, oh God, it's my job to make her feel like I am desiring her. Does she feel wanted? Does she feel desired? Am I fulfilling that need in my wife's life? You say, but preacher, you're talking about empty nesters. It's just as important as an empty nester as it is when you're first married, as it is when you're in your golden years. I know what golden years is all about. That's when you spend all your gold. You go to the doctor and spend gold. You got all these aches and pains you spend. That's why they call it the golden years. It's not retirement. You just give all the money away. I'm just saying. Husbands, be captivated with your wives. Wives, be captivated. Work on it. If it's not there, stoke the fire. Talk with each other. Honey, what do you like? Sir, what do you like? Honey, you're beautiful to me. I don't feel very beautiful. How many husbands ever heard that from your wife? I'm so ugly. No, they're not looking for you. Say, yep. Probably need to get that hair done. Yep. You could lose a few pounds. You're an idiot. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, why not be all that God wants you to be? I'm going to be a faithful church member. I'm going to be a faithful pastor. I'm going to be a good dad and invest in my kids' life. I'm going to be 110% in. Why not be 110% in marriage? Why not make it exciting? Why not stoke the fire and make it as fun as you could be? I want to be the Dan and Ann. When she goes, I'm going. I'm going to lay on her grave and die. I'm going to miss her so much. Here's what we heard 25 years ago. Can't wait till the ladies retreat so I can get away from that man. Can't wait till the men's retreat. Can't wait till camp. The reason why we were so impressed to start was because I believe the most neglected group of people among the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches is the husband and wife. We need to fall in love again. I'm asking you, does she know that? She's saying to her, sweetheart, I only have eyes for you. I'm asking you, does she only have eyes for you, sir? Are you saying to her, I only have eyes for you? We will be one another. We will communicate with our voice. I'm going to communicate with my with your value. Boy, you, ladies, you're going to like this. When you read the book of Song of Solomon, he wasn't buying her chocolates and cars. He was buying her gold and silvers. He was buying her diamonds. She was loaded. When people looked at her, someone said, boy, your husband really loves you. I'm not saying you may not have a dollar, but you can buy a 99-cent rose and make her feel like she matters. I'm saying there are things that you do that you need to start doing again. You're now, your kids are gone. You're saying, now what do? We're going to live the next 30 years of our life existing, waiting for the grandkids to come over. I'm telling you, they come, they eat, they leave. That's what they do. They come, they eat, they leave. They come, they eat, they leave. And then they leave messes, and you go pick up the messes, and then they come again, and you can't wait. And boy, you hug them and you hold them. And that's the only hugs and holds you're getting. Young couples, stoke the fire. Build your marriage. Take the time away. Get a babysitter. Put the kids in another room. Your kids ought to say, Dad, you a mom. You guys spend an awful lot of time. What are you doing in there, Mom? You remember the day when the kids began to pile in the bed. Now it's time to get up and go to work. Now it's time to come home. The kids come home from school. It's amazing how busyness of life robbed you. Now it's too late. It's gone. She's working a job and some other guy is paying her compliments. He goes to work and some other girl's caught his eye. Because everybody wants to be wanted. I'm saying God has designed it. We need to communicate. Boy, you come down through here and you see over and over again the diamonds and the most valuable thing I believe that I could do for my wife is spend time with her. She needs to know she matters. There are women in here today that are crying out saying, please, listen. I want to spend time with you. You say, oh, she won't spend time with me. I'm a jerk. Quit being a jerk. You weren't a jerk when you got together. She would have never married you. Dr. Curtis Hudson said, if you keep doing after you're married what you did before you were married, in order to get married, you'll never be unmarried. I know people who coexist, but they have no relationship. My heart and prayer and desire is here that you would go away from here saying, I want to be captivated with each other. I want to communicate with each other. I want to communicate my love to her. I want the world to know that she's beautiful to me. I want everybody to see it. And I want to lavish her. I want to lavish him with gifts. My wife knows Bibles are important to me. And while she will spend a lot of money on Bibles for me, the fact that she would spend the money, the fact that she would say, "This, I know this is important to you," and she would spend the money, it meant more to me than what the Bible did. Matter of fact, she knows the Bible's too small for me. That's not my kind of Bible, but it's King James. But it's not necessarily my kind. But man, it was a spendy Bible. It's a nice Bible. There's nothing like that. And to think that she bought that for me. You know what color she bought? She bought me a red Bible. It's nice. Very nice. I'm asking you this morning, are you captivated with each other? Look each other in the eyes right now. Tell me what you think. Your breath stinks. When's the last time you saw deep into each other's eyes and you lost track of time? When's the last time you had to stop what you're doing with each other? When's the last time you were so captivated you couldn't wait to get home? When's the last time the communication? I'm telling you, nesting years are just about over. Kids will be gone. And if you don't work on it now, you'll have to work on it harder then. But wouldn't it be good if he just walked from this door to that door, to the door we're going to hear about? And it was just so full of love. I want to be an example. And then lastly, the commitment to each other. The captivation, the communication, and the commitment will be done. The love bridge made exclusively for life until one dies. You pick their mates carefully. Too many couples marry for better or for worse, but not for long. Love will survive against all circumstances. Charity suffer long. Charity never faileth. Faith, hope, and charity are forever. I'm asking you, as you are married for 60 years, when they ask you, how did you do it? Well, we just survived the quitting places. Well, that's pastoring. How do you stay married and happily married? You fall in love again. You can do it. I'm saying you work on it. And those feelings that you had back there when you were 18, 19, 20, 70, whatever age it was when you got married, they can reignite. There's an ember because you're still together. And God wants it and God desires it. He wants the fires to be burning. It may come a time when you cannot be intimate. It may be physically impossible. There may be things that happen in your life. And those days are coming. I'm saying the reality, if you haven't built something back here, I'm talking about the reality. You must fall in love often. That old couple that I was talking about, I asked him, how you do it? I fall in love with her every day. I just fall in love with her. Find something that I can love. Something that I can compliment. Something that I can be excited about. And I'm telling you, if you saw him, she's not a beauty. And he's not a prince. Physically unable to do a lot of things. But you can look at their eyes and you can see them look at each other in the eyes. And you can say, there's something there. Are you captivated? Are you communicating? Are you going to commit? I'm going to keep falling in love with them over and over. And over again. An old man got on a bus one day and he had a big pile of roses in his hand. It was Valentine's. As the old man sat there, he looked across and he saw a young guy. The young guy had a little card. They began to talk and he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go see my wife. The old man said, he said, boy, those are nice roses. Oh, yes, I've been giving her roses for years. She's the love of my life. Man, those are nice roses. He says, it's Valentine's Day. Are you seeing someone special? He said, yeah. He said, I don't have a lot of money, but I got my wife this card, and we're going to meet up together. I'm excited to see her. And they talked back and forth a little bit, and they came to where the bus would stop, and the old man gets up and he looks at the young man and he says, here, I believe my wife would want me to give these to you. You give them to your wife. And so he takes the roses and the young man says, but your wife, he says, it'll be okay. She would want her to have them. Unbeknownst to the young boy, the bus begins to start. The old man gets off the bus and as he's pulling away, he looks up and there's the old man and he's at a cemetery. His gait is not what it once used to be. He sees him headed to an old part of the cemetery and there is a grave of his wife. His life will soon be passed. Don't wait. Don't say, well, we're going to start, you know, when the kids get older and the kids get out, then I can give him the attention that he needs. Lady, he needs it today. Husbands, your wife needs to know that you're captivated with her today. There needs to be communication. There needs to be a commitment. But you know what? I'm not going to settle for a lethargic, lifeless, loveless marriage anymore. God, with your help, I'm going to get in your book. I want our bedroom to be as hot as it can be, but not just for that. But God, I want it to be when we're on the couch, when we're in the car, when we're in the store. I want it to be just the sound of her voice. You'll never get there doing what you're doing now. You're going to have to learn and be willing to say, you know what? I was a jerk. Held my wife close and I said, I'm so sorry. I was an idiot. I was a jerk. Everything about it was for me. I was selfish, self-serving, self-centered. Of course, she, no. She knew it was true. I'm asking you. Are you willing? You want it? How bad? If I was to say, when your nesting years are over, the empty nesters, what you're working on now, young couples, will determine what that's like. If you ask most people, we had a wonderful marriage. Boy, it could have been so much better. It's so much better now than it used to be. When we get to the golden years, the olden years, whatever they want to call it, I'm hoping it's with her. I'm hoping I'm not visiting her at a graveside. She often says, oh, if I died, you'd get married again. And I know there are people who do. My mom did. I'm not against that. I understand biblical things. I understand the tearing. I understand that. Right now in my heart, I couldn't even think of that. I couldn't even dream of that. I don't have any desire to do that. Father, we love you today and thank you so much for your word and for your truth. And God, you're an amazing God. You wrote an amazing book. God, you designed us to love one another. You desired for us to be together as bride and groom. You desired, Lord, in your mind, the beauty of intimacy. To be lost in our hearts and our mind, one toward another. Lord, is a picture for us to be so in love with you and infatuated with you. Lord, I think this morning of the families that are sitting before me and the realities without a shadow of a doubt sitting before me. There's folks sitting here that I'm sure have thought about divorce. I'm sure if I took a poll, Lord, as you know, there are people that have thought about suicide sitting before us today. There's people that's given up, given out, given in. God, they were without hope, but God, may today, may they see that your book has a plan. And God, if we would just start being captivated, just start desire, just start communicating, and Lord, make a commitment that we're going to work on it. Read books, listen to tapes, talk to preachers, talk to people, talk to other couples. Find couples that we can see that are succeeding and find out what they're doing, what they're reading. Work on our marriage to make it better. Or may the marriage beds not be defiled. God, so many times we think of it as the world's defilement. God, I can't help but think that anything short of your will and your plan and your desire for marriage is defiled. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your will, your way, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Preacher.
Send a 16-year-old kid out on the field with a play, and what you told them and what happens and transpires, it wasn't the same thing. And you lose, or the play goes terribly, and you go back and watch the tape, and you're sitting in the film. What did you tell them to do? Well, I said, that's not what I told you. And it's just communication. It's just communication. We're working on game stuff. And I was like, I gotta communicate. Have to do it. Well, I didn't know. That's right there. And so, however, whenever, those times, look for those times. You come to this and you feel like, I'm just curious, how many of you here, you're like, man, I'm excited to work on my marriage, to invest, to do those things. I mean, I'm going to work at it. That's you today. You say, I'm going to work at it. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, it's like, I'm going to work at it. Yesterday, I was watching a video of some people. I think it was from this January. They're on the Capitol Mall, and people had spent years living in the LGBTQXYZ community. Those people, and they all wearing shirts said change. And that's what caught me. I said change. Okay, you know, Obama was for change. You know, and all that stuff. All right, change those. One after one got up and shared their testimony that they never knew somebody was out there to really love them. Never knew that. And it was awesome. One guy wasn't much older than me. He said he had over 50,000 sexual partners in his life since he was a kid, abused. And he said somebody invited him to church and told him about Jesus. And every one of these people gotten saved. One lady, homosexual relationship, said, I never knew I'd have my own children. He said, but I married, had a picture of her husband. These are my two children. Nobody ever told them. Nobody ever showed them. You think, was my marriage important? It's important for other people to see. You go in the post office and you're holding hands. You go in the store and you're holding hands. I promise you, when I see Nancy Pelosi, I'm saying, when's the last time Mr. Pelosi made you smile? I think that way. When I see old cranky old people, preacher, I wonder, how's that like? What's that like? Like, I mean, you can say, oh, I'm against homosexuals. Well, show us what you're for. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you're not for a good biblical marriage, and that's the thing. I mean, it's that God made it. Just like a preacher said, God made it to be that way. I think a lot of what drives some of the pornographic industry is, well, I'm only supposed to have sex with my wife when we want to have children, and that's it. I don't think so. I don't think so. And it is a closeness. It's exciting. I'll just be upfront, straight, real. As my black friends would say, this is real talk. Real talk is still got kids at home, still don't understand all things, right? And so in the communication, you say stuff, right? That would be edgy, maybe, or whatever. Or you pinch or touch or do whatever when the kid, you know, or hip check somebody in the kitchen, maybe, or whatever. The flirting stuff, the kids haven't caught on yet, right? And then when they get older, they're like, oh, that's gross. Then you double down, you know. Then you spend the stuff. Let this be a lesson to you. Let this be a lesson to you. And it's weird, you know, just like being a little boy and throwing rocks at girls, and then pretty soon you're giving them things, you know. The kids be like, oh, that's gross. But, hey, there's a lot of security in that, knowing the mom and dad. Yeah, mom and dad. So we're going to take a break here, and then I'm just – before we break, though, I need to have people that are willing to jump in this next game, because I need you to come back up, at least the ladies, come back up. I'm going to take 15 minutes. And it could be a Baptist 15 minutes like it was last night. It ends up being 25. It is okay. When you hear the piano playing, just try to make your way back up. But if we'd have four couples that are interested in playing a game. So this game is going to be a list of questions. Ladies are going to fill out the answers. And guys are going to get asked the questions by myself. And we're going to see how many answers you can get correct. And then the winners will receive compensation for their awesomeness. So is there anybody willing to do that? If you just slip up here and just sign your name on the paper, then you can go and take a break with everybody else. We could do that before we go, then that'll save us a little bit of time before Pastor Page comes to preach. Anybody willing to participate this morning? That's why I waited a little bit too, because all right, awesome. All right. If you just want to come up and Oh, okay, okay, yeah, we're breaking down. That's good. So there we got 1, 2, 3. All right. 4 Frasers? Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Now, did you want to do it? We could do 5. Okay, we do 5. Oh, yeah, we can do 5. Let's go make more copies. We got lots of paper. So, all right, good. Yeah, we're, right when we start, come back up. If you would come up, because ladies, you got to fill out answers to a handful of questions. And then, guys, don't, you're not going to look at them. What's that? I'll get you another copy. I have it. I have it. You're dismissed, and we'll see you back up here in a few minutes. All right. I mean.